It's the first Sunday of Lent. We begin in the first three chapters of Genesis. It's a good place to begin our Lenten journey that began on Ash Wednesday. Because in the first three chapters of Genesis, we find that God is good at many things. God is good. He's good at all good things. But four things in particular come that he reveals himself to be good at in the first three chapters of Genesis. The very first thing that God is good at is creating. God is good at creating. Look at all that he creates in the first chapter of Genesis. He creates light and darkness. He creates the waters and he separates them. He creates land to appear, the dust and soil. He starts to fill the waters with fish that swarm and teem with all sorts of things. And he fills the heavens with birds, and he fills the earth with beautiful vegetation, gorgeous flowers and trees. He fills it with animals of all different kinds. And then he fills it with us, humans. Male and female, he creates them. The crown of his creation. He looks at everything and he sees that it's very good. God's very good at creating. He's the creator. We also see in the first three chapters of Genesis that the devil's good at creating as well. He's good at creating opportunities to tempt you away from God's goodness. The devil's very good at tempting. He comes to Adam and Eve, and he uses his oldest trick in the book. Did God really say? The same question he asks us every day. Did God really say? The devil's a master at temptation. He's had quite some practice. He's been doing it for over 6,000 years. He's very good at temptation. And unfortunately, the first three chapters of Genesis also shows us that man is not very good at following instructions. We were given one rule. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But we're not very good at following instructions. Just one. We can't keep it. You follow along Israel throughout the Old Testament. They're given two rules in the wilderness. Only take enough bread for one day, daily manna. And on the sixth day, take twice as much, because on the seventh you'll rest. Two rules. We don't follow it. On Mount Sinai, God gives them 10. But if we can't follow one and we can't follow two, we struggle with 10. Over 600 rules in the Old Testament, and we struggle to follow them. We're not very good at following rules, but we make up for it. Because in our ability to not follow rules, we're very good at hiding. We find from Adam and Eve that they're good at hiding. They hide behind some bushes in the garden. They sew together fig leaves to hide behind who they really are. And we're very good at that. We're good at these illusions that we place over our lives and these distractions that we place over, these masks and facades we put on in the front of other people so that they don't see who we truly are. We're good at hiding. But God is good at creating, but we also find in these first three chapters of Genesis that God is also good at finding. He's very good at finding. He comes to the garden. Adam, where are you? He's the master of hide and seek. You can't hide from God. He's going to find you. Could you imagine a world that God wasn't good at finding? Adam and Eve, where they would have been lost and condemned in darkness forever. But God finds them because he's very good at finding. And unfortunately, we also find out in the first three chapters of Genesis that God is good at punishing. Look at the punishments he lists. He tells the serpent, on your belly you shall crawl all the days of your life. You'll eat dust. I'll put enmity between you and her offspring. The first messianic promise that you're going to strike his heel, but he will crush your head. God is very good at punishing. And then to the woman, your desire will be for your husband. He'll rule over you and I'll increase your pain in childbearing. I'm not going to say that's very good. That would get me in trouble. But then look at his punishment to the men. By the sweat of your brow, you'll work the earth. Thorns and thistles that will grow. and remember your dust, and to dust you shall return. God is good at punishing. Could you imagine a world where God didn't punish sin? And sin had free course. There was no shame, no consequences, no discipline for sin. Before you even got back to your house today, it would be empty. Everyone would be stealing. It would be a wreck. But God is good at punishing. But he's not just good at creating. He's not just good at finding. He's not just good at punishing. Did you catch it in the last verse of our reading? He's good at providing. It says that the Lord God made for Adam and his wife garments of skins, and he clothed them. God is good. He's very good at giving us what we truly need, which is a good thing. Because, as Paul writes in our epistle lesson, that this one man's trespass, Adam's one trespass, brought condemnation for all mankind. And through Adam, because of one man's trespass, death has reigned. And we are born into a broken and imperfect and sin-bound world as broken, imperfect, sinful people. And so it is good that we have a God who provides for us what we truly need. And then we see Jesus in the wilderness being tempted by the devil. And many people are tempted to read this story about Jesus in the wilderness as simply a model and how you can overcome temptation. They read this story and they think it's all about you and how you can overcome the devil's temptations. And Jesus is simply a model for you. I don't want you to read it that way. Jesus isn't just your model. He's your Savior. He's your Redeemer. And this story about Jesus in the wilderness is about him. It's about Jesus. And he's very good at doing the thing that we're not very good at, following instructions. Jesus is perfectly obedient at following the Lord's commands. The devil comes along and he tempts him, just like he tempts Adam and Eve, just like he tempts us every day. Did God really say, if you're really the Son of God? Did God really say? Lent is a good time to pause and to see the ways that the devil has entered our lives to tempt us away from God's goodness. Did God really say? Why would God allow a tornado to rip through your hometown if God is good? Does he care? Does God really know best? Look at all the death that you've faced in your life. Does it even seem like he cares? Because it sure doesn't seem like God is good at giving you what you truly need, does it? Otherwise, you wouldn't be facing the things that you've faced. Enough, Satan. Christ is my Savior. And to him alone, we look for every good thing. And he reigns above you and above all things. Just like his Father, Jesus is good at finding. He's very good. He finds his lost sheep who are in distress. He finds those who are lost, who are broken, who are in the darkness, who are picking up the pieces after a tornado. For it is written, devil, that I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep. And I will rescue them from all the places where they've been scattered. Just like his Father, Jesus is good at finding. He's very, very good. And he is good at punishing our sin in his very own body. Punishing you, devil, and punishing the grave. For it is written, devil, that he canceled the record of our sin, nailing it to the cross. And he disarmed you, the rulers and authorities. He put you to open shame by triumphing over you in the cross. Jesus is good, just like his Father, at providing. He is very good. He provides for everything that we need. He holds nothing back. For it is written, devil, that as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by his obedience many are made righteous. We have what we truly need in him. You are right with God because of what Jesus has done. And Jesus is good. He's very good at giving us what we truly need. Amen.